بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا يتخذ المؤمنون الكافرين أولياء. مؤمن should not take up a kafir as a friend. ومن يفعل ذلك فليس من الله في شيء إلا أن تتقوا منهم تقاة. But if a mu'min takes up a kafir as a friend, then Allah Pak says that then Allah has got nothing to do with him. As though Allah Ta'ala has alienated him. Yes, if you are showing some type of affection or some type of attachment, only so that you may be saved from his harm, from his oppression, so that's a different thing, it's an exception to the rule. Now, under this verse, the ulama have explained the different types of friendship, different types of association. One association is called Muwalat. Muwalat is a deep, heartfelt relationship. So when it's a deep, heartfelt relationship, this must be purely with a mu'min. The reason is that الرَّجُلُ وَالنَّاسُ عَلَى دِينِ مُلُوكِهِمْ. When you have a very deep-hearted relationship with a person, then you become like him or he becomes like you. It can't be you have a very great attachment and you don't sympathize with him, you don't want to imitate him, or he doesn't want to imitate you and sympathize with you. Because you will not know parameters, you will not know where to cut off. Right. Relationship is such. Now it's, for example, a Christmas or a Diwali, and they do some celebration, so you will not want to hurt him in any way. And in the process of you not hurting him in any way, if he calls you to his home around the time of celebration, so you want to go there. In that celebration, they're going to do a lot of funny things, right? Maybe things that are totally against Islam, totally against your deen. But because of your attachment, you're not going to see anything. One person came to admit his son, the madrasa here. I knew the person and asked him, mid-year, what happened? Mid-year, you bring your child here. Very strange. And then you are pulling him out from a very wealthy, you know how you call it, Crawford and all that. So for a month, you're paying 100, 150,000 rand. You're pulling him out from here and then you bring him to the madrasa. So what's the relationship? Kept quiet, but then he couldn't hold it himself. He said, well, the truth is this, that I had a business partner in India, right? So he had a function and he called me over. I'm doing big business. Imagine if his child is paying so much. So you can imagine what is his lifestyle must be like. And then you can also imagine what type of business he must be doing. So he had a wedding or something going on in India, and he called him over. Obviously, they're going to come with their wives and their children. So he attended the wedding, and at the wedding they had the statues and the idols and all that. And around the idols, the children were playing. Children, when they see elders doing something, then they want to imitate. So they see elders bowing down or doing something, and they would also want to imitate. see, other religions beside Islam has got no acceptance. If you look at Christianity, then it's so distorted that the books, to give the books to your child, to study is also embarrassing. Because there's so much of distortion. They got about Luther Islam, for example, when he escaped, when he moved away from Sodom to a safer place, so he moved on with his two daughters. Now, when he moved on with his two daughters, so they are discussing that Luther Islam's issue has to continue, his progeny has to continue. And there's no male. When there's no male, it's just him and his two daughters, then how is his progeny going to continue? So the daughters gave him wine, made him nice and drunk, and then he slept with both his daughters and they got sons. So now his progeny continued in this. Now I ask you, if you read such a book, will you give it to your daughter or son to read? So they got such despicable things. Then the Hindu is not too far away from that as well. In their books they got, their own books they got, and they practice it up to this day. They got the practice about lingam. Lingam is a male or a female organ, right? Private part. So part of the ritual is to kiss this thing, like dig this thing and kiss this thing. Now, a child coming into religion, are you going to go and ask him to do these type of things? See, this is a male organ. I'm going to kiss the thing, I'm going to suck this thing. I'm going to ask him to do it. So it's so embarrassing. They feel embarrassed to do these things here. But it's a culture, there's a religion. So they have to hide their shame and they have to just continue. So that is why Allah Pak says, إِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ نَجَسٌ. Hadith says, Al-Mu'minu la yanjis. Mushriks are an impurity. Innama al-mu'minuna najasun. They are an impurity. Had Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu met Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he says, whenever Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would meet me, then he would shake hands with me. I had a special relationship with him. But now, on that particular day, I required a compulsory bath. So when Nabi Sam wanted to extend his hand towards me, I moved away. So Nabi Sam asked, what happened? He said, no, I'm in a state of impurity. So Nabi Sam explained, Al-Mu'minu la yanjis. The mu'min is not najasat, but simple translation, a Muslim is not najasat. If it is that he requires a compulsory bath, it doesn't mean that his whole body is filthy. It's not filthy. Yes, he requires a compulsory bath. But that doesn't mean if he touches something pure, the thing that is pure will become impure. It will still remain pure. So he doesn't become an impurity. And if you look at a mushrik, then he is an impurity. So the filth that has gone onto the mu'min can be cleared up. But the filth of the disbeliever cannot be cleared. Because he is impurity. Now how you understand this? Example came in my mind. Is look at number two, right? Number two itself. Can you wash it? Can you clean it? Can you clean it and make use of it? It's impure. No matter how many times you wash that thing, that impurity will remain an impurity. So that's an example of a disbeliever. It's an impurity. No matter how much you wash it, it will still remain impure. And if there's an impurity that touches a believer, then that can be washed off. Right? Say you were doing something and some blood got onto your hand. So you can wash it off. Or urine got onto your hand or something, you can wash it off. But that urine itself, can you purify it? Can't. When Allah Pak speaks about the mushrik, then he says, "Innamal mushrikuna najasul." It's an impurity. It can't be purified because he's living with impure beliefs. So when he's living with impure beliefs, then he's impure, no matter what he does. But he's an impurity. That is why you get some ulama that advise that if you have to, first you shouldn't shake hands with a non-believer. But for some reason or the other, you have to shake hands with him, then wash your hands. You'll find, when you're interacting with them, or you're becoming too close, you'll find a problem. Something you'll find. One is they're not very particular. Like what you are, how you particular, they're not particular. For example, if they urinate, right, they can just go into the urinal, and host the whole place, and they'll just button up and carry on. Can you say that any residue urine didn't soil the clothing? Can you say that? Or didn't soil his body? There must be something he touched. Right? His hands will go everywhere, and the same hands will touch you. So you cannot trust him for his purity and impurity. Then there are some things that are impure, we say, and they touch it, they eat it, and they enjoy it. Pork, haram, and impure. Wine, impure, and napak. Right? They can touch it, they do it, with it, but we can't touch this thing. So the one level of relationship is to have an intimacy with them. So that is not permissible. Allah takes exception, so strong exception to this. And if someone does this, Allah says, "I got nothing to do with you." Yes, the only permission is given if you are showing some consideration so that you can save yourself from his wrong. It's a different thing. Right? You go into court, so you tell the magistrate or the judge your order and whatever you tell, right? But if he's stripped from his position, will you tell him, "Your worship," and all that? Say, "Hey, you crook, must worship you." So you only told him that just to save yourself from consequences. Therefore, you told him. You don't tell him because you love him or you respect him and all that, but because it's a requirement, so you just say those words. It's a repetition. You know what you're saying? You just saying some words. So this circumstances, under the circumstances, you're going to show him some respect. You are driving, and the police just flags you down, right? So you go there, say, "Hey, boss, make a plan." So you tell your boss, "Do you ever work for him?" You call him a boss. Tomorrow he's out of job, right? If he's out of job, he comes to you, say, he'll tell you, "Boss," won't he? Say, for example, something, you fired him. He's looking for the work. Won't he come and tell your boss? So you're not telling him boss because you want to tell him, but because you want to save yourself, therefore you say these type of words. So the Quran has made this provision. So that's the first level of friendship. The second level of friendship is mu'amalat, where you have to deal with the person. So you are allowed to deal with him fairly, respectfully, in a business, whatever else, trade, commerce, some type of work. So you're allowed to work with him in any type of dealing, right? Understand your limits and you can deal. Not that you can't deal with the person, you can deal with him, and you deal with him fairly, respectfully. You will show him Islamic values, right? So that's the second one, mu'amalat. The third type of relationship is call it mudarat. Mudarat is now you are showing him some type of humanitarian values. So he's in a problem, so you help him out, assist him. In your neighborhood, there's a non-Muslim, he can't manage, so you help him out, you try to visit him if you seek some type of consideration and feeling, you show him a human feeling, right? So that's also permissible, right? So what is mu'amala? Dealings, permissible. Doing business, or you're working for him, he's working for you. So you treat him fairly, respectfully, as a human being, right? Similarly, if you have to show him some type of kindness, then Islam is next to none in showing the person kindness. Even though if he's a non-Muslim, Islam is showing kindness even to an animal. Fi kulli zati, fi kulli zati kabidin ratbin. For anything who's got a moist liver, in other words, anything that's alive, and you show some consideration, kindness, you're going to get reward for it. So if it's a human being, you must get reward for it. So this is the third type of relationship that's called mudarat. Right? One is muwalat, then I showed you muamalat, then I showed you mudarat. Right? Then you get the fourth relationship. The first one I told you is impermissible. And the last one also is impermissible, that's called mudahanat. Right? Mudahanat, what does that refer to? Mudahanat refers to you relaxing some Islamic regulation, relaxing some type of regulation for some material gain. What? You relaxing an injunction for a material gain. Right? So now, for example, a woman came, right? So she's scantily dressed, all that, whatever. And you're talking to her freely, nicely, how are you? You're doing all this, why? For some material gain. That you can sell her whatever you need to sell her. So you're not worried about the parda, you're talking to her freely. Everything is kosher with you. You're seating her in your office. You're showing her the respect, or you're showing her that feeling that you're supposed to show only a man. You're shaking hands, all that, whatever you're doing. You're shaking hands with her, sitting freely with her. Now you're doing all this, why? You want to sell her some product. You want to sell her some product. So you're breaking the law, why? For some material gain. See, you showed her all that for what? For some material gain. So this is called haram. One is, you are considerate, you are soft with the person, not for a material gain. Not for a material gain, but you are soft with the person, not for a material gain. For example, the person, you want to show him the mannerisms of Islam, the goodness of Islam, so you're a little bit polite towards him. Right? In our context, for example, he's not dressed right. He's not dressed, he's incorrectly dressed. But in spite of his not being dressed correctly, you are a little bit soft, lenient, and respectful towards him. But your intention is that I want to show him the right Islamic values so that he can come closer to Islam. So here you showed some leniency, consideration, and you compromised, that's permissible. But in that first case where you shook hands with that girl and whatever you did to get some type of a material benefit, that is impermissible, haram. So here it was permissible, there it was impermissible. So these are four types of relationship. Now it is important we know these things here. Like I explained the story of Hazrat Shaykh Hind Rahmatullah Ali. And when he had gone to Gango, and Gango Ramadan asked him to turn. Right? So understand your borders and understand your parameters. Don't know your parameters that you overstep the mark. Just now, instead of bringing him to deen, you will get away to his deen. Instead of you bringing him to your side, he'll drag you to his side. Don't you see? Now, in this country, we have a very open policy, right? We have an open policy. How it has impacted? Our children will like their ways. Our wives will like their ways. dressing, does it happen or not in the dressing, in their ways, in their mannerisms? Men, women are going to a coffee shop, right? So is that our style or their style? A shop is an open place. Isn't it an open place? So now women are going there. When women are going there, men are coming in there. One is exchanging his phone, her phone numbers, this side, that side. She's getting to know your number, you getting to know her numbers. It's someone else's wife, or someone else's daughter, and then she's relating to you. See? People tell you all these stories, what happens, right? They go into the shops here, odd times, and then some girl is looking for some company, and you will play the prank. All these things happen. They happen and they start off very innocently, eventually you pay for it. So, Allah Pak says, by you don't join up with them. So you don't join up with them means that then you don't take up their culture, their ways. You want to join up, become friendly and all that, and in a short period of time, you're going to be taking and adopting their culture, they're going to be taking, they won't take your culture, but you definitely going to be taking their culture. Right? Their ways will seem to be appealing. Their religion will seem to be so nice, right? Their dressings will seem to be so attractive to you. Gradually, the values of Islam will be lost. Alien values will come into you. So that is why they say when you take up a friend, the friend must have these five qualities. Like, well, I explained this now, right? One is that he must be an intelligent person. Intelligent ones, yeah, he can understand things well. Mustn't be a person that is, he can't understand. But a person that can't understand, he'll try to do you good, but he will hurt you. It's famous that someone took a chimpanzee as a friend. Right? So the chimpanzee's work was that when the boss is lying down, that thing must chase the flies away. India, you know how hot it is, and the flies. So it's resting, and the flies are coming. Sometimes the fly is very stubborn, comes sits right on the tip of the nose. Chase the thing, come again, same place. Chase the thing again, same place, same spot. I don't know what diamond is finding there. So now the chimpanzee is saying, hey, I chased the thing for the first time, then he came again, second time. He's disturbing my boss. Let's finish it for once and for all. So he thought, you know, let me just wait for it to sit on the nose. Sit on the nose now, let me take a big rock, smash it down one time. So can you say that his intention was corrupt? Intention wasn't corrupt. But can you say that he had any face left? No face left now. Really, full force, smashed him. So he had left with any face. Face is gone. So you will not say that his intention was corrupt, but no understanding. The understanding is not right, he'll spoil things. He may intend good, but he'll cause problems for you. So you don't just take any person as friend. So one is that person that is intelligent, right? Number two, he must be honest. A dishonest person, then he'll sell you. You took him as a friend, and then he sold you. See, he'll cause problems for you. In the past, right, this immigration also was a very big problem, right? Big control. So they only allow you a certain amount. At that time, I think it was about 2,000 rand that they allowed you to bring in. 2,000 rand worth of goods. So now I'm in Makkah, and I know one person now, not a friend, I know him. So he says to me, you know, take this box for me. I said, no, see, I don't want to take anything. I'll have problems. You know, he shall make a big noise. I know you for so many years. You're a Mulana, you can't even take this one box. Whatever Mulana you are. I was still young at that time, 27, 28 years of age.
I'm thinking, hey, what he'll think of me now. One small box that I don't want to take it for him. And I don't have weight. So I carried the box, brought it, came to the customs here. Now they want to check the thing. As they check the thing, right inside here, some radio and some watches and all these things here, all illegal things. He's only allowed to 2,000, and he stuffed the thing over top, he put some clothing and all that, and inside he put this watch. And luckily, the custom officer felt pity and he disallowed it. He asked me, anything to declare? I said, nothing. That person told me, you got nothing to declare. Now, I felt so embarrassed before him that he put his hand and all this thing came out. See? So now, that person, that friend that is dishonest, he'll sell you. See, I'm showing you, he'll sell you. For a small gain, he doesn't mind selling you. Now imagine I saw him that time and what he did to me. Now up till now, the thing is stuck in the memory that I can't trust this person any longer. Although he met me in Makkah and say, you're a Mulana, you can't even do this for me, you don't have weed, and this also you can't do, then what could you have of you? So the way he persuaded me that I eventually landed up taking the stuff. But then I understand. So the second thing, one is that he must be understanding. Second, he must be an honest person. Right. The third thing is this, that his ways mustn't be corrupt. Now, he's an honest person, he speaks the truth, and he's intelligent, but he's a little bit corrupt, this person here. Sometimes he's dacha, sometimes he's whatever else. His ways are not right. His ways are wrong. Right. When there's going to be a police raid, right? You hanging around with him, and he's dakhaing, or he's taking alcohols, or he's taking some drug, right? Is police coming to raid, right? They'll come for him. But you are in cahoots with him, so you are by his place. So are they going to catch you also? You've been an accomplice to the wrong. Right? So he's doing some corruption and you are with him. For example, he's got something wrong, right? And he asks you for a lift. You gave him a lift. Now the parcel you came, he is found in your car. So now, you're going to go through that ordeal, you're going to go through that embarrassment, but why did you befriend a person that was corrupt? Why did you do it? A drug is a small thing. Sometimes it can be that he must have murdered somebody, and now he's going to throw the body, right? He said, I just got a parcel, I just need you to come and drop me here. He got the thing nicely wrapped, and meanwhile the police stopped you. And now this body is found, what happens? I ask you, is it a small crime or a big crime? See? So, one is he must be understanding. Number two, he must be honest. Number three, he mustn't be a corrupt person. Number four is he must maintain good relationship with his family, parents, etc. Because they say that in three places in the Quran Sharif, a person that is not good with his family, means family means parents, his elders. Right? Severs family relationship. For no valid reason, he severs, breaks up from his family, from his folks. So that person also is a dangerous person because in three places in the Quran Sharif he's been cursed. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ Allah says he's cursed them. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمُ اللَّعْنَةُ So, three places in the Quran Sharif. Allah Pak has cursed such person. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فَأَصَمَّهُمْ وَأَعْمَى أَبْصَارَهُمْ فَهَلْ أَسَيْتُمْ إِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ أَن تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَتُقَطِّعُوا أَرْحَمَكُمْ That you severing the relationship, then Allah Pak says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ Right. والذين ينقضون عهد الله من بعد ميثاقه ويقطعون ما امر الله به ان يصل ويفسدون في الارض اولئك لهم اللعنه
corruption, and with corruption this severing relationship. So Allah's curse is on them. So I ask you, if Allah's curse is raining on that person, what uske andar kya bhali baat ho sakti hai? Allah has cursed him, can there be any good in him? So these people that break away, don't maintain relationship, don't respect these things here, so keep a distance from them, because they are under curse. And when they are under curse, when that first curse will fall on them, it may just get you as well. So you be careful about them. So if some need now, you need to have to do some business, meet him, move away quickly. You don't know where that thing will fall, and you become a recipient, you become a recipient to that curse. So this is the fourth condition, the fourth thing that you need to see before you take a person as a friend. Don't just take anybody and everybody as a friend. But Umar radiallahu anhu, in an Islamic court, there is a thing like tazkiyah. See, like a claimant comes up. So when the claimant comes up, he makes a claim. Says, for example, that this person took away my car, my motor car. Right? You made a claim, so the court will ask you in the Islamic court, all right, furnish your evidence and proof. You say that he stole your car, so furnish the proof. So you will have to furnish proof, evidence. They won't just pass judgment in your favor. You need to furnish proof. So you say, all right, Mr. Yusuf, Mr. Ismail is my proof. Right. So, one is the claimant and the other is the defendant, right? I think nowadays they say respondent, right? Huh? So the respondent has got the right to say that this person here, this proof that he got, the evidence he got, he's flawed, he's not right. He's upside down. He's got the right to say that. Right? So if that respondent says that he's not right, then you got a duty to prove his reliability. The claimant has got his duty bound to show that this person is reliable. Right. He's going to prove it. That he's reliable. He's not like what the defendant has to say, that he's unreliable, he's corrupt. So at the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, there was a case. So the claimant proved, he furnished the proof, this person is my evidence. So there was a question about tazkiyah to go and prove the authenticity, reliability of this person. So one person said, yeah, no, Amir Umi, I know him, he's a good person. What he said? I know the person, he's a good person. But Umar radiallahu anhu asked him, but have you traveled with him? No, I haven't traveled. Have you dealt with the person, any business? Like I said, you know, I mean, Makkah Mukarramah, this person came and gave me his box. Now, there's a dealing, right? Now, from this happened when? I think over 35 years ago. But now that stain is still in the heart. You can see this person here, what he did. So on the surface, I will respect him. I'll say perhaps he made tawbah for whatever he did. But will that be forgotten? You can't forget that. Although I didn't have to pay anything, but it brought embarrassment. Right. So Umar Adin asked him, all right, you haven't traveled with him. Have you had any dealings with him? He said, no, I didn't have any dealings with him. So then says, لَعَلَّكَ رَأَيْتَهُ يُصَلِّي فِي الْمَسْجِدِ صَلَاةً طَوِيلًا. Perhaps you saw him reading long rakats, you know, in the masjid. So yeah, I saw him reading long rakats. That's not the basis. You saw him reading long rakats, that's not the basis of authenticity. Authenticity, reliability is a different thing. Him reading lengthy namaz is a different thing. Because he was reading lengthy rakats, therefore you say he's a reliable person, then this is not right. The gauge is incorrect. See that? Okay. So these conditions are attached. So when you're looking at the credentials of a person, what were things you need to see? Now, one is in court, this is required. Then, this is also required even in a marriage. Eh? Someone comes with a proposal. You don't just give your daughter away, right?
lot of times you get cases, they just give their daughters away. After 1 month, they're crying. Oh, he's got a drug problem, or he's got some other girlfriend, or he's hooked up with the phone, he's doing other stupid things. Now they're worried why they gave their daughter away. So before you do make a commitment, especially in this day, even if you give your word after some time, it's good. Normally, the standard used to be character and deen. That's how you see the person. But now it's complicated, and because it's complicated, you can't just check the character straight away. You don't know what he's doing. So he was trying to find out his character. He's got taqwa and all that. He's right. His ways are right. And thereafter you do the commitment. You don't just give the commitment straight away. No such a thing like love at first sight. Huh? You saw the person and you just made a commitment. So you do your homework and then you make a commitment. Because now you're giving your daughter, and tomorrow she's going to curse you, and my father gave me away to this person. This person got his own business carrying on. How must I live with him? Every day is a problem with him. See, so that girl mustn't come and curse you. See and check the credentials of the person before you give your daughter. Before you make a commitment, check all these things out. So you see, friendship and what it requires, all the whole exercise. Now you've seen all these things here, and then you take up a friend, inshallah, you shouldn't go wrong. But you don't take this checklist, and you just go and give a commitment, then you say, no, I thought he was a pious person. But you didn't check all this checklist. You don't go through the checklist, and you just want to give your word. Now you've got problems after that. And most girls, coming from good families, when they see a problem in the husband, most of them, they won't complain straight away. Because they don't think, hey, I don't want to have the stigma of a divorcee. See, if he complains straight away, the father will take the girl away, and she'll be divorced. Now she's afraid that I'll be stigmatized that you are from a broken home. And more especially when if you are, that woman bore a child for the husband. My children, what will they say? What will be the problem with the custody? So all these problems here, they will just lump the problem and they'll stick to all this thing here. Until one day that thing explodes. When she can't manage this and she explodes, and she, I can't manage it now. See? So that's why nowadays, it's very important that we check through this properly. Go through it nicely, see it. Find out on people that know the family, the person, that people that befriend him, deal with him. Did all your homework, trust in Allah Ta'ala, then give your commitment. Allah Ta'ala bless you.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa al-aqibatu lil-muttaqeen wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله لك الحمد للإيمان ولك الحمد للقرآن ولك الحمد لنبينا محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام ولك الحمد للشهر رمضان ولك الحمد لجميع نعمك وإن تعدوا نعمة الله لا تحصوها إن الله لغفور رحيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد كلما ذكره الذاكرون اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد كلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وأصلحهم وأصلح ذات بينهم وألف بين قلوبهم واجعل في قلوبهم الإيمان والحكمة وثبتهم على ملة رسولك وأوزئهم أن يشكروا نعمتك التي أنعمت عليهم وأن يوفوا بعهدك الذي عاهدتهم عليه وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم إله الحق آمين إله الحق آمين إله الحق آمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وارض عنا وتقبل منا وأدخلنا الجنة ونجنا من النار وأدخلنا الجنة ونجنا من النار وأدخلنا الجنة ونجنا من النار وأصلح لنا شأننا كله اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في ديننا ودنيانا وأهلنا وأموالنا اللهم استر عوراتنا وآمن روعاتنا اللهم استر عوراتنا وآمن روعاتنا اللهم استر عوراتنا وآمن روعاتنا يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين accept this gathering of ours يا الله and all of our other gatherings يا الله make it a means of hidayat for us يا الله make it a means of your khas rahmat and your khas maghfirat يا الله not only for us يا الله but even for our families يا الله and the entire ummah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم Ya Allah, especially those, Ya Allah, who have passed away, Ya Allah. All those, Ya Allah, who have been a means of benefit for deen for us, Ya Allah. And all those who have been a means of benefit even in matters of the dunya, Ya Allah. All those that have passed away, Ya Allah, you shower that full reward on them in their qabr, Ya Allah. You save them from the azab of the qabr, Ya Allah. Ya Arhamar Rahimin, make the qabr a garden of jannat, Ya Allah. Make all the stages of the akhirat easy for them also, Ya Allah, and also for us, Ya Allah. All those who are still alive, Ya Allah, you grant them barakat in their maal, jaan, wealth, families, Ya Allah. Ya Arhamar Rahimin, we ask you for all the khair that our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for. And we ask protection, Ya Allah, from all the shar and the evil, Ya Allah, and the fitna, Ya Allah. That our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks protection from Antal Musta'an. Ya Allah, you are the only one, Ya Allah, that we can ask for help, Ya Allah. Wa alayka al-balad, Ya Allah, you are the only one who can help us, Ya Allah. You are the only one who can fulfill our needs, Ya Allah. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. Fa bi subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. الحمد لله رب العالمين